Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I hope that you've been praying already for Restore-a-thon, and our theme is Send the Light. I do want to remind you again tonight, we're going to kind of take off here from that passage, and if you have that, once you get that, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and take something that you've put in your Bible and stash it there until we get there, all right? So you can flip over quick, and I'll do my best to watch the time. I went over to Central Baptist the other day, and the pastor asked me to be done at noon and turned me loose with about, I don't know, about 18 minutes left, wasn't it, Mrs. Parsons or so, and I finished at 12:02, believe it or not, and all the girls, when I said in closing on the last point, all the girls in the singing group all looked at me like I had just, like there is no possible way Brother Parsons is going to quit preaching right now, amen, but I pray that I did finish, amen, and so tonight I promise you I'll start and I will finish, amen, and for those of you that are visitors with us tonight, I do, maybe you came this morning and didn't get to hear our pastor preach, and I do understand how you feel, and he's the best preacher in America, amen, and I thank God for him, and so I know you came this morning and strike one, and you came tonight, strike two, come back Wednesday night, we have three services a week, amen, and I'm not sure how your batting average is, but hopefully you'll get a hit on Wednesday night, amen, but I thank the Lord for this place. Many of you that have been here, I've been here around this place somewhere. We're approaching that 15-year mark, and time flies when you're having fun. Amen. And I love Landmark. I thank God for it, and I thank God for the light that it is in this world, in this lost and dying world. I thank you for the church itself, and not only what it's invested in me and what it's taught me, but my children and my family, and Just the gospel light. Sometimes if we're not careful, we don't just realize what we have. Amen. If you go other places and you've been in other ministries, I thank the Lord that I grew up in a ministry that loved the Lord, that was a gospel preaching church and reached my family when we needed God. And I got saved and reached my father, and just the light of the Lord Jesus came into our home and changed us. Amen. And I want that for other people. I don't want to keep it to myself. I want other people to be able to have what I have. I realize it's not something that I'm supposed to keep to myself. The song tonight was fitting for the message. And here in Matthew chapter 5, if you have a Schofield Bible, I'm not using one tonight, but I looked at one, and, you know, he begins the chapter. This is that Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. He's beginning these Beatitudes and talking about these things. And then he talks about, by the time he gets to verse 13, where we're going to begin tonight, he talks about these being similitudes of Christ. And I think that that's fitting. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think oftentimes we don't always look at these things that were evident in Christ's life, and we need to be adding to our own. I think it's evident by the time we leave salt and get to light, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I think it's good for us to know and to believe and hold the truths of the doctrines of the Bible and what the Lord Jesus preached, what we consider to be the faith, and to broadcast that light by living it out in our daily lives. I do not believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I believe that my life is an evangelistic tool that people will see and see that I am different, that there is a light in me, and come and ask me about the light that is within me. Amen? And so I do believe it's important for us. I believe it's important for every ministry we had. I thank God I got to drive a big yellow bus this morning. Amen. And I thank God that they're still rolling, that they still went out and they still came back. Amen. Every one of them, praise the Lord. I didn't hear any different. Amen. And there's a bunch of little kids that got a lot more light than they would have got if those buses didn't run this morning. There's a lot of Sunday school classes that taught and shared a bunch of light this morning that would never have been shared had there not been Sunday school. You know, people are getting out of a lot of the light business, folks. There's a lot of places that used to have Sunday school that they don't have Sunday school anymore. They just go on and have a church hour and they worship. They don't beam the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that 24/7, all around the world that the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being broadcast on Gospel 90.3. Amen. And so there's some things that we can praise God about. Sometimes we get down and we get, think maybe, you know, we get looking at sometimes. I don't know about you, but I live in a house that's not perfect. How about you? Amen. And even if it was at one time, it's in this old dirty and nasty world, and it deteriorates. And if you put paint on it, sometimes along the way you got to put more paint on it, don't you? And I thank God, but you know, if I sit back and I look at all the cracks in the walls, or somewhere where one of my kids was riding, you know, one of them hoverboards in the house and hit the wall or something, you know, and made a nick, or my boy wanted a dog and brought, anyway, I don't got time for that, okay? But you know what I'm saying? Things happen, and if we're not careful and we don't stay on top of it, we'll look around and we'll see all the nitpicky things that are wrong, rather than looking at all the good that's going on and all the good that's going out of our church and our family and our, again, just the ministry of Landmark here. And so tonight I just want to preach about the light. I want to ask the Lord to help me again before we dive into Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, God, that you've bestowed upon my life and my family and this church. And God, we need you tonight, and we need to hear from your word. God, I pray that you let me be your messenger boy. And again, just God, I pray you use me as your mouthpiece. Just use me to speak the words that you've given tonight. And I pray, God, that you just use me to be a help and maybe an encouragement to someone tonight. That's my heart's desire, God, to just be your mouthpiece. Holy Spirit of God, I give myself over again as your tool, as your man. And God, I pray that you just use me. Holy Spirit of God, do what I can't do. Go into the hearts of the hearers tonight and sit down the word of God and use it to your glory and your honor. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." I want to say today that this idea and the context that's in the scripture here, and even what Mr. Schofield has said about the similitudes of Christ, Christ kind of sums up all of what's said before by, "Don't think that I've come to tear anything down, but I've come to fulfill it all," so that people could see that somebody could do it. See, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And if there's anybody, listen, if there's anybody that could be preached day in, day out, and never, the writer said that, if the world was pages and the water was ink, that we couldn't write enough about what Jesus did and said in this earthly life, can I just say that Jesus is worth speaking about? There's, if you read the Bible every morning of your life, there would be more than enough evidence for you to go out and to tell people around you of the light and the hope that is within us. I believe that we live in a day that is a dark day. I believe that we have come to a place where, again, the preacher preached on it this morning and the need of men, but we need light in this dark world. We need people that will shine their light and not hide it under a bushel. When I was a small child, of all the Bible truths that I could hang on to and understand, I could understand the simple truth that if I was a light for this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It wasn't hard for me to understand that the one thing, my job was to make sure that as a believer that I was not supposed to hide my light or to be an undercover brother, but to let people know that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, that I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and it's only because of what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. I believe I know that we have more ways today to get the light of the glorious gospel out. We are just broadcasting on the air, and we're going to spend 3 days this week, and I pray that you'll spend the first 3 days praying for the last 3 days. And first three, but I want you to make sure that you've got involved and be a part of it. This is a great way, folks, for us to get the light out. Amen. Maybe this isn't your genre and you don't listen. Shame on you. Anyway, but maybe there's somebody else that'll tune in and listen. I thank God when we talk about Landmark, and somebody said something to me this week about the old hotel where we've been broadcasting from for a while, and just made mention of it and how they just love that building. I've had more over this past year. I've had so many police officers and firefighters that stop by and are in the building, and how they just talk about that. That building just by itself and what our church did there, that is, I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. The building itself, if a big 9-story building in the middle of town can be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I can be a light and you can be a light. It's just an inanimate object that God's people got behind and put their money in and painted it up and fixed the rooms and made areas for people to see it. But when people drive through town, they don't just think about this old decrepit building. Some of the people in town go, I remember when that was an old decrepit building and about to fall down. And now it's not that anymore. And you know why? They don't give us the praise. They know that it was beyond our church by itself to do that, but they give the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they drive by that building, they think, man, that's what a church and God's grace can do through His people. Hey, I think about all the different ministries of our church, and we could go on and on. But listen, a lot of people, why they don't drive buses anymore? And I'm hung up on the buses. Let me say, they don't drive them because they're not willing to invest the money in it. A lot of people don't have what we have with a lot of different ministries because they're unwilling to invest themselves and their life's blood and their work and sweat and their money in those things because they get out the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, it's easy to let something go when we're not worried about the light. Here he says this, and I don't want to dwell on the salt, but I want you to see, he says, ye are the light of the world. That is in red letters in my Bible. You see that? In verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to his followers, to people that are listening, and he's saying, ye are the light of the world. We're not assuming something that Jesus didn't say that we had. We're not assuming something that isn't right. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Listen, we can do our best. Some of the worst things I've ever seen, some of the people, the worst counterfeits in the world are people that try to pretend they are the world and they're saved. That people that are saved and they've got the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're willing to halfway put one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I'm telling you, they're the worst ones. They're the ones that are trying. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I'm not saying the worst as far as being bad. I'm saying you can spot them, friend. They've only got so far into the world that they're willing to go, and they've got only so far in the church that they're willing to go. And listen, I'm here to tell you, anybody, and I'm going to do it this way, but when you start stretching out and trying to go to the world and trying to go to the church and you get stretched out, when I see somebody like that, I go, hey, they're in trouble. Something bad's about to happen. This is not going to be good for them. Hey, can I just tell you, I want to give myself to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to see how dark I can be but still have some light. I want to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture that we use for this restore-a-thon this year is in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can I just say tonight, we don't believe in work salvation. We don't believe that if you work a certain amount or you ride a bus or you drive a bus and you work every week, we don't believe you're going to get to heaven because of that. We believe it is in because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we go to heaven. But here, I'm here to tell you, the way my light is going to shine brighter, that light that I got at salvation shines even brighter when I get invested in the work of God. When I work and I work and I work with my hands and try to turn up the light. If we could make it that way, not so much that you know how it is. If it was salvation, it'd be like an airplane. And Jesus got us off the ground, and I said it before, and then pedals came out of the floor, and he said, okay, I got you up here to 40,000 feet. Now, y'all keep it up here. And, you know, everybody's got to pedal together. It's not that way. The church's purpose, folks, is to complete the Great Commission. Its purpose, its soul, its heartbeat of the church is to be a light in a dark world. It ought to be our goal and our purpose to find something. I taught Sunday school this morning out of the book of Ephesians, and it says to walk worthy of our vocation. Every one of us have been given a gift. Maybe you can't get on the radio and you don't have a voice for radio. Maybe you don't have a face for radio. I don't know what it is, but whatever. Maybe something, that's not your the thing that you should be doing, but there's something you can do. Amen. I can do a lot of things, but I've said it before, you know, I'm not good at changing diapers in the nursery. Just not good at it. Amen. I have changed a lot of diapers, folks, and I'm still not good at it, you know. I mean, I set my mind to do it, and my wife would come behind me and make sure that everything was put on there right, because I just couldn't get it right, amen? Even though they have those signs that say, this end up, I couldn't get it right. But I worked hard at it, and I tried, you know? But our good works, there's something that you're good at that we do around here about getting the light out, and we ought to get to being a part of it. You know what helps me to shine is when I get around other people that are shining. You know what helps me when I see somebody else and I see how they do it, and I say, man, I can do that too. I remember when I first got saved and I really got going for the Lord, I wanted to go with other good soul winners because I wasn't a good soul winner. I knew the verses, I knew what it was like, but I wasn't good. I could get in there and somebody could trip me up, or I wasn't real smooth with the way I could give the gospel. And you say, well, it doesn't take that. I agree. But it does take somebody having a good partner and learning how to go through the gospel. And then when somebody asks a question, you learn good ways of transitioning to give either answers or say, hey, I'll come back to that at the end. And being able to make your circle back to that. Listen, I want to be a light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's like anything else. It's work. If it's worth doing, I've learned in this life, it's work. And the light of this, listen, I didn't have to do any work to get it. Jesus did all the work for me to get light. But if I'm going to show my light, it takes work. People say, you know, the Christian life, a lot of preachers will say, I'm burning the candle at both ends. But amen. It's only one life, and it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. I quit my job when I worked in the world. I was a septic guy, and I know many of you are thinking, I'd have quit that job too. Amen? And amen. But it was, financially, it was a good, sound business that we were a part of. We had good work and had a good ability to serve in the community and work. And, you know, other people would walk by when something was happening and they would smell the tank being pumped. And they would say, and I'd say, smells like money to me. Amen. And but, you know, I learned in this life, I learned this. The more and more God started to get a hold of my heart, I was preaching in the jails. I was driving a bus. I was the lay youth pastor at our church, but God burdened upon my heart to do more and more for him. And every day that I was at work, even though it monetarily took care of my needs, I'm going to tell you today, listen, folks, inside my heart, I felt like this is something that's not going to matter in eternity. This is not something that's going to matter for every day. And you say, Brother Parsons, everybody can't be a preacher. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I know this, that the Holy Spirit that spoke to me can speak to your heart. And I don't know what it is that God is speaking to you about, but maybe it's whatever that your vocation that he wants you to be a part of. Do you know a lot of people don't want to do what God writes on their heart because it's discomforting or it might cost us something? I'm just here to tell you, every one of us, your cross may not be preaching or leading some ministry or doing something. That might not be your the cross that you're called to bear, but maybe it's something different in your life that God wants you to be. I believe we're all commanded to be a witness of him. I believe every one of us are commanded to be that light. We're actually called children of the light in 1 Thessalonians, where we're heading. Will you turn there with me? That's where I want to spend the rest of my time tonight. I want to just speak about some things that we see here. I want to be very expository about the scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight, the Bible is so good. And if you know First Thessalonians, you know, in chapter 4, the church here at Thessalonica just got some hope. I mean, they had a question about what happens to those that go on. They knew about the return of Christ. They believed that Jesus was going to come back and rapture out the believers and take them home to be with Him in heaven. But they were like, you know, they didn't have the complete scripture like we have. And they were wondering, what in the world happens to people that don't make it until the rapture? What happens to those that fall asleep in Christ? And they were wondering, and Paul wrote this book to answer some questions for them. And in chapter 4, he explains to the believer that, listen, we're not going to prevent them, folks, that they're going to be caught up together with us in the air. I mean, he gives them some good foundational teaching about the return of Christ. And can I say tonight to his church, when we're talking about light and about some hope and some things, that we're in a late hour. In the beginning of this chapter, he says in verse number 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, speaking to Christians, you have no need that I write unto you. Listen, they had a lot of questions, but this group, the question they had was about the rapture of the church. And listen, can I tell you, if they were looking for Jesus's return and the Bible wasn't completed yet, if the Thessalonican church was worried and was writing to Paul about what was going to happen when Jesus returns, then listen, we are close, I believe, closer than I've ever been to the close of the church age. If they believe they were close to the end of the church age, then we're closer to the end of the church age. There's no need. This book, he doesn't even take time to mince words about, hey, let me tell you, and I believe that I'm standing in a church tonight that realizes the time, where we are on the clock, that Jesus could come any moment, that he could come any day. And I believe this, if there was a last charge, if God was speaking to a soldier, if this was a group of men that were lining up, and Jude, he talks about earnestly contending for the faith. Can I just tell you, if this was a call to the front lines, if here in the book and for the rapture, if he was trying to mound up a group of people and said, hey, don't wait until tomorrow, there may be no tomorrow. If he's trying to, listen, he's saying, hey, in Jude, he talks about people that have crept in the church unawares. If there was ever in this book, if he was making a call to arms, it would be, hey, you see how dark it's gotten on the other side. You realize how dark the day is. You realize how many people are lost and on their way to hell. Listen, I don't believe that there was ever a day. If the Bible was true, which it is, he said in the last days it's going to be like the days of Noah. There are just as many people, if not more, on planet Earth today as when God flooded this thing. And I'm here to tell you, judgment is going to fall just like God said it is, but he's coming for his church and those that are saved. Hey, before that falls. That book, he says that, but I don't need to write about the time. This church believes that Jesus is coming again. And when we believe that Jesus is coming again, it sets us to action. It ought to bring us to a place where we realize there's no reserve. I'm not holding anything for tomorrow because there might not be one. I don't want to burn my candle too fast. If there's two wicks, folks, we're in the day and age where we ought to burn both wicks. We're not holding one back for tomorrow. We're living by faith, not by sight. Well, and again, I know this. You know, we can become skeptical the longer we're saved, can we not? I've heard that preached all my life. I can say amen to that. I've heard that preached all my life, but I believe that book the same way I did when I got saved. I believe that Jesus is coming back. I don't believe because just, about 20-some years in between there that it somehow got untrue. I just believe it got closer. If it was around the corner when I got saved, if a preacher could preach and scare me half to death and believe I better jump both feet into the work, then we ought to believe it today, because listen, there were no homosexuals running the streets and saying, hey, I'm wide open homosexual, sodomite, living with a man running for office when I was a child. Hey, when I was a child and they preached that, there were nobody that was trying to tell me they were some kind of transgender business. Hey, when I was a kid, there was none of that business. It's darker than it's ever been. Folks, can I tell you today that if it was ever true, it's true today. If we could ever see it, that it's getting darker and that we got to shine the light farther and harder than we ever have before, today is the day. There's no reserve. We don't need to hold back on God. We don't need to hold back and say, listen, He's the God that supplies everything that we have, every ounce of strength, every ounce of encouragement, every ounce of money that's in the account. It was given to us by God. And don't think that you're so big that you did it yourself. He's a holy God. He's the supplier of all. And when we get so haughty to think ourselves that we are the ones that pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, God help us. Living in a church like this, with the light like this, and we're going to hold back on God. Don't hold back on Him. He says here, but of the times, you don't need me to write unto you, brethren. I don't have to write that, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. Listen, it tells us it's going to come so quick that it's going to sweep in like a thief. We're not going to see it coming. We can know the times and the seasons, but boy, I believe so quickly. Can you imagine the thought process of somebody who heard a message like this or heard when I was a boy about how they ought to shine their light, how they ought to give their all, how they ought to give that, and then bam, Jesus comes back. A week later, a month later, heard the warning but didn't heed the warning. You say, Brother Parsons, am I going to go? God help us. We're in a church that believes once saved, always saved. This chapter deals with that. You're not going to miss the boat because you don't throw in everything you got, but listen, you're going to miss some rewards. Amen. He says here, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Listen, folks, I'm worried. I watched a little piece of news. I'm not a big news junkie, but I watch every once in a while. I try to keep up, and I recently... somebody got me hooked up with that Facebook so I could get on Marketplace because, I heard I was missing a deal or two. And so, people post videos and stuff. You know what I saw the other day? I saw that that the leader of Israel is running on a platform with Trump's new deal, his peace deal. I mean, everything he was saying about why you should vote for me is because I'm going with Trump in this peace deal. Now, listen, I believe Trump is a great president. I thank God for him keeping his promises and everything that he's done. I think it's been great for our economy and good for our country. But can I tell you, don't get lulled to sleep as a Christian to the place where you don't think some man that the devil can't deceive. The Bible says even the elect, if it were so. Don't think that it couldn't be him, because I'm here to tell you, just check it at the door. I'm here to tell you, when it's time, it's going to be time. And Jesus is going to take His church out of here. And just like that, there's going to be a peace agreement settled on. And just like that, people are going to be lulled asleep in this thing. And there are going to be people who have heard the gospel. Can I hear you? Can I tell you this? Listen, that are going to, just like they had the wool pulled over their eyes. That have heard it, but never accepted the gospel. I'm in a day and age where I feel like as churches, listen, not this church, but there are churches, and if we're not careful, we'll join them. If we're not careful, we don't stay diligent. If we don't stay on the front lines, if we don't stay where we ought to be, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. He uses two words here. And let me say this. Read on with me. He says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Do you know how important it is when the Bible repeats itself? It tells us to watch. And I believe that we live in a day and age where there are a bunch of watchers. There's a bunch of people that sit back on their laurels and watch the times and the seasons and what's going on. And they're looking for the return of Christ. But watching and being sober are two different things. Watching is looking for His appearing. I believe so. But being sober is being serious in the day that you live. There are people that look and they believe that Jesus is returning, and I believe they watch and they look for signs and they look for wonders in the heavens and many other places, but they're not really serious about the things of God. Say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I'm talking about if you're serious, that word sober means to be clear-minded. All right? And if you were clear-minded today, you would realize that there are millions, if not, let me just say it this way, I believe billions of people who are lost without the light of the gospel in this current world. And we need to be invested and serious about getting the same light that we received to everyone. That book in 1 Timothy says that it's his will, it's God's will that all men be saved. I don't believe that it's changed. I don't believe that he somehow decided, you know what, I think I'll settle for this amount. You say, Brother Parsons, you believe all men will be saved? No, because there are people that reject him. I've had people reject him, but they got light stared right in their face. They heard the gospel and they rejected Jesus Christ. Can I say today, how serious are you about getting the light out? I mean, is it something that you wake up and think about? I mean, that's what sober is. Being sober is waking up and realizing that the purpose that I am still here for. You realize, I've said it before, the Christian life, why don't we, when we get saved, poof, disappear and go to heaven? The Bible says that he sees us seated in the heavenlies. That's how sure our salvation is. But why don't we just poof show up in heaven? Because there's a work to do, friend. He left us here to shine the light of the gospel to other people. The same way, it wasn't Jesus himself that came and shared the gospel with me. It was, can I say it, my youth pastor's brother who drove the bus. Hey, all you men that won't go get your CDL license because you think that'll inconvenience you, let me tell you the opportunity that you have. When the youth pastor's busy, you could be a witness to a lost teenager, and you don't know what he might turn out to be. But I'm not serious enough about the gospel of Jesus Christ to inconvenience myself and get a CDL. I had a pastor this week tell me, I don't think I'll get buses, I think I'll get vans because it's too hard to get CDL drivers. Because just what the preacher was preaching this morning is true. We don't got many men left. And thank God for this church that can still run a pack of buses with every one of them got a man behind the seat of them. But listen, hey, I want to run them so bad I'll put a woman behind the seat if you won't get up on your laurels and get a CDL yourself. Amen, Brother Parsons. And if you can use them all week, then I think you're not too good enough to use them for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I hope that was an encouragement because that's really what I wanted to be to you tonight. But can I tell you, it's harder and harder to get that in the day and age we live. You know why? Because the devil knows buses still work. And some of you men, I know how hard it is to get that CDL because now it's a federal law. You got to check more boxes. Listen, you better be better off being a rocket scientist trying to drive a CDL bus than go through and tell everything that's under the hood and everything that's underneath of it and everything that's under wheels and all the things. It's a lot of studying before you ever get behind the wheel. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing like getting on a bus. Can I tell you, Brother Congdon's my bus driver on my bus, and it blesses my heart that when I have to drive, because somebody's out, can I just say this? When I get to drive, when it's my opportunity to get behind the wheel, when I watch little kids that get on that bus, and some of them, can I say this? Some of them don't, I mean, they know me, but they're disappointed that Brother Congdon isn't in the seat. Because they love him, and they know that he loves them. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's light that can be shined from behind the seat of a steering wheel on a Sunday morning. There's just such opportunity in this life for us to be a part, but so many times we won't be bothered with it. We've got to punch the clock at 12 o'clock and get to wherever we're going to eat because we're not sober, that people are still dying and going to hell, that it's time for us to go do something else. It's time for us. It's my time. Listen, I don't have but so much time, and I want it to be his time, the whole time that I'm here. I ain't got time to take time for me. It's his time. I gave it away a long time ago. The Bible says I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. There was a long time ago that Jesus came to earth and paid my sin debt, and I took him as my Lord, and one day, listen, as my Savior, and the next day, listen, it wasn't too long down the road, I took him as my Lord. I gave him every minute of every day, every moment. You say, Lordship, salvation. No, he saved me as my Savior. But listen, he saved me from myself when he became my Lord. And I put him on the throne room of my heart. He protected me from me. When I can take myself and defer to him
Amen. He goes on and he says all these things. He says, verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, that are of the day, be sober, putting on. Can I say this? That is a consistently thing. Just like I get dressed and I came here and I put a jacket on. He says, putting on. Putting on. Can I help you this? Can I help us? Can I help me by saying it again? By putting on the breastplate of faith, I can put it on, but every time I go out to battle, which is every time I step out of my door every morning, I got to check myself and make sure that I put the breastplate of faith on. Then I'm not going out in some kind of, not that I, faith, not the idea. Can I, I'll say this too. I got to quit. Time is going away. Wake up now and listen to me, because I want you to get this. The faith is more than just salvation. The book of Jude uses this terminology. He says, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And that faith is more than just salvation. Because earlier in that same chapter, in the introduction to it, he says that he said, I wanted to write to you of the common salvation. But it's more needful for me that you would earnestly contend for the faith. Hey, folks, the faith is more than just the faith is every doctrine and principle found in this book, and every ethical and moral standard that proceed from it. And when I put on the breastplate of faith, that's the faith I put on in the morning. And when I leave the house, I'm not just standing for salvation, I'm standing for much more than that. Every doctrine that the devil's going to try to knock down. I'm going to stand for every doctrine, every ethical and moral standard that the Bible has always, as a pastor said it, I'll say it again, if it's ever been right, it's still right. It hadn't changed the book. We didn't change the book. We stand on this book. Things that are different are not the same. We believe that. We preach that. We hold to it. That's why a lot of you are here tonight. But listen, we need to stand for that faith. With the breastplate of faith on. You want to talk about a light to the world? When you live by ethical and moral standards that proceed from the mouth of God, from His book, that's a light to the world, because they don't live that way. They got no desire to be like that. They want to know, where in the world did you even get that crazy idea? Right here. He says this, and this is the key, because charity never faileth. The Bible says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. The blessing of speaking the truth in love is that I can tell somebody that and tell them, but hey, even though you're bound for a devil's hell, there's a God in heaven who sent His Son to come to Calvary and pay for your sin and for my sin. And that same Jesus is coming back for you and me. That's love, friend. Do you know every other religion of the world is not only asking, listen, our religion is that God wants us to work for Him. But you know, if you read this chapter, and I don't have time to take you there tonight, but you know, if you go far enough, it'll deal with your works. And those that are sober and those that sleep both go in the rapture. So you can sleep on, folks. You don't have to be sober. You don't have to watch. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you're going. But I'd rather go sober. I'd rather go awake and watch the return of Christ. I'd rather go working for Him. I'd rather go a different way than some of these other. And he says this, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. There are people, if we could just remember, if we would just remind, what I love about this station is being able to wake up every morning and to turn on Gospel 90.3 and listen to how I start to put on my helmet of salvation again about what Jesus did for me on Calvary, about how I'm saved and on my way to heaven because of what He did, about all the, I hear songs about the blessings of God and what's going on in my life. I use that radio station in the morning to help me get my helmet of salvation, the hope that was within me, the light that I need to put on my thinking cap, because if I got stinking thinking, the world is going to invade me. If I don't put my helmet on, I'm going to get hit in the wrong place. I'm just here to tell you, we live in a lost and dying world, and it needs the light of the gospel, and the light is within us. We are the children of light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. And listen, a church like this, when people walk in and we still sing out of the old hymn book and praise God for that, people come in and say, there's something different about these people. It's because we still hold the faith. We still have ethical and moral standards and doctrines and principles. We still have the light and we still carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm preaching at the choir tonight, and I know that, but I wanted to amp you up. I wanted to preach an encouraging message to you tonight when it was given my opportunity, because I believe that just like I do, I'm preaching to a bunch of people who really don't want to fall asleep on Jesus. They want to be sober and work for him until he comes. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, the pianist is going to come. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know if you died right now that you go to heaven. Well, let me tell you what you do tonight. We're going to have an altar call. The piano is going to begin to play, and I'll meet you in the front. If you'll step out, if you'll stand with me as a church, if you'd stand tonight. If God spoke to your heart, you can come. But if you want to get saved tonight, you want to receive Christ, if you'd just come down and take my hand and say, Brother Parsons, I need to be saved. The piano's going to play. If you'll come, God spoke to your heart.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all.
It's worth living for, folks.
With me tonight. Listen, tonight we preach to the saved, but if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you don't know that you'll go with the church in the rapture, you're not saved. You know that. You know you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We're going to give you another opportunity to step out and come to the front. Come up here and let me take your hand and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved tonight. If you're here and you didn't come, many have had the opportunity, maybe you just want to tell God you're serious about this thing. God, help me be sober in this present world, this dark, dark world. The altar's still open. We'll sing one more if you'll come.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. May thy holy fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender
all. Amen. So we thank you all for being here tonight and listening so well. I wish you'd listen just a little bit faster. I could have got done on time, but I do appreciate you being here, and I pray that you'll do this. I mentioned it earlier, but please do this for my pastor and for me. If he was here tonight, he'd ask you to pray for the next 3 days for our Restore-a-thon. It's a battle. The devil is the prince and power of the air, and if there's one thing that he hates and he can take out and turn off if he wanted to, is the radio station. Just pray with us that the devil will be bound and that he won't have any effect on us, that God will give us free course and the Holy Spirit would speak to people
and what they've given in the past or what they're going to give this year, just pray with us. And just, again, I believe more than anything, we need to bathe this thing in prayer and see what God will do again on the Revival on the Radio. Amen.